Is this where I finally lose you?
Everyone, welcome to TrickTrack.ca. This is Trick Track with Setrack, and I'm your host, as usual, Tricky himself. Tonight, we have a very special guest, dear friends of mine, thanks to my nephew, Chadarch. I got introduced to them quite some time ago, and we've become friends, and I've known them from day one. They've been called Visa, and we get to talk to them tonight. I'm going to play a couple more songs before we hit it off. We talked to the Oud man, Antranig, and see what they're up to, what the band is up to, and their Kickstarter project, and see how we could back them up on that. And they've got a new album coming out, Araya. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the songs, and we're going to talk to them in just 5 minutes, or 10 minutes, actually, two more songs, okay? Welcome back, folks. I have on the phone with me from Visa, Antranik, the oud player. Good evening, Antranik. How are you?
How are you? Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on my show, man. It's been a long time, and really happy to hear your voice.
Yeah, likewise. Always a nice treat to hear you, Seto.
And I'm going to start off for those of you that don't know Visa very well. How long has the band been in existence? And if you could just give us a small background of where you each came from and how it was formed.
Yes, the band has been around since the early 2000s. It started as a concept project with our singer from New York. And he moved to Los Angeles. And over the years, he met the rest of us to kind of have the band membership what it is today. We're six people. We have two guitars, bass, drums, vocals, and an oud, which is the instrument I play. And most of our members are from LA, but two of our members are from the East Coast too. So we have a lot of diverse Armenian, Greek, East Coast, West Coast to mix into our sound, and a lot of different rock influences too, which kind of makes for our, you know, makes Visa what it is.
Cool. How many albums you guys got so far?
This is our seventh one.
Wow. Seven albums. Okay. I must say, I really, really enjoy all, so far, I've enjoyed all your albums, and I was trying to make a playlist tonight to see which one I'm going to play. Man, you guys killed me. I was so confused. I'm like, okay, I should play this. No, and then I'm like, okay, this one. It's really tough to pick because it's really, 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 I enjoy your music, and it's upbeat. You know, it's not, you don't have sad songs.
Yeah, well, I mean, we try to put our passion and all the energy that we kind of use to make the music when we perform and we write, we try to instill that in the albums, too, when we record them. So it's kind of cool to hear that. Thank you. It's nice to know that the art that you put out there is actually, you know, reaching people and touching people. So that's really cool.
A lot of people probably know, but they just... Can you give us a sense of how difficult it is to write music? To write the lyrics, to write the tracks, the recording.
Yeah, it's a process. I'd say the most rewarding and fun part of it is when we're actually in the rehearsal studio, when we're writing, jamming, trying things out, being creative, experimenting with styles and influences, and just writing new music. To me, that's the most fulfilling part of the process. Once you have the songs, you have the music, and Canoop is our lead singer, he writes the lyrics. Once we put it all together, where the music and lyrics are done, then it becomes more of like a calendar process. You have to record, you have to find the engineer, you have to find the studio, you have to kind of set it all up, you have to get it done, you have to go in and record the songs, you have to mix them and produce them, and it gets kind of technical. But that initial part of it can be very rewarding, and that's what a lot of us are in this for. We're in it to make music with our friends, do something that inspires us and hopefully inspires the people who listen to it. And through that, we can, you know, just make our mark in the world.
I had the privilege of touring with you guys a couple of years ago. Well, I think it was a couple of years ago.
How could I forget?
I was stunned, really stunned. And for some reason, I always thought, like, Europe, you guys would be, how can I say it? Not that you guys are not welcomed in the States, but the European fans were different, man. You could feel it in them. And as soon as you guys were about to hit the stage, I'm like, wow, these guys are going to rock Europe. And the minute you guys started playing, people were going crazy. How was your reaction when you guys first played in Europe?
Wow, you bring back some really nice memories. The first time we played, it was the summer of 2010. We were on tour with Serge, which was a great experience to go all over Europe with him. And I remember a lot of what you're saying. It was so energizing and exhilarating to go on in front of these really huge audiences, people who obviously were huge fans of Serge and System and all the music that he's put out, and to be able to perform for them and you know, show our stuff and share our art was just awesome. It was like a drug. To do that and kind of share your passion and your energy and put it all out there, and it's just out there for everyone to see and hear and feel and dance and all that stuff. That was really our start of touring. Europe gave us such a warm welcome. And once we had that, we've been touring nonstop for the last 3 or 4 years. But that was our first time, and I think that was the one where you were with us.
Yeah. And how did it change you as, let's say, Antranik?
Well, it gives you a different perspective on life and, you know, everything that goes into living every day, like the daily routine of, like, the rhythm of life, things like that, because you get to see the world. You travel, you go to cities and countries and places that maybe you've never seen before or never would see unless you were touring there. And that, at least for me personally, and I'm sure a lot of the guys would say it too in their own way, it kind of opens your eyes and your mind a little bit to, you know, different perspectives and different mentalities and attitudes of people all over the world. And to be honest, it's been amazing meeting all these people. We have friends from all over in so many cities, and they almost feel like little home bases for us when we go on tour, because we have great people there that that, you know, come and welcome us, and we feel like they're our friends that we've known our whole lives, and we've met them through the power of music. So that's just an incredibly powerful dynamic to share that, and it's so far away, but you go and you see them, it's like you never left.
And I must point out, like, a lot of people that, let's say, if they haven't seen you in tour, you guys don't know what you're missing, because these guys, they don't just play on stage. After the tours, they come down, and they're with the fans. They're inside. They're talking to them, signing autographs, T-shirts, you name it. And the one memory that
I was just going to say, that's kind of what we enjoy the most, you know, talking to the fans and meeting the fans, because that's what the music's all about, you know? It's sharing experiences, meeting new people, sharing your art. I know I say that a lot, but that's what it is. You have art and you're sharing it, you're giving it away, you know, you're playing it for them. And that's a really special thing. So to be able to meet them and talk about the music with them and just kind of have that moment is really cool.
Well, the one memory, what I was going to say, was that stuck to me really was that night in Germany. I think we were in Frankfurt or Cologne, one of the cities, and there was a whole bunch of Armenian fans there. And we had just met them for the first time, at least myself.
Yeah, Cologne.
You know, and after the show, they stuck around, and that was just amazing. And I'm sure you guys have met many more like that in small cities, Armenian communities, that they come out
To be honest, that's been a kind of unexpected little benefit of doing the touring. I think we were in, it was Cologne when we went on the following tour, not that one, but that one was great because we met everyone outside. They even took some of our guys to see the cathedral and show them a part of the city, which was great. And then when we went back on our own, we actually went to visit the community center and their church for the community, which was, you know, we weren't expecting that, to have a community and a church and an Arbund, like a center where people go and, you know, share their culture and kind of sustain their Armenian heritage and their community. So that was very, very interesting to see in another country where the same things that I'm sure, you know, are happening in Montreal and LA and where I'm from, in Philadelphia and all the cities all over the world. It's that same energy of Armenians trying to stay together, trying to maintain their culture, keeping those close ties and bonds. And although they're living in a new place, they're not letting go and they're not forgetting of where they came from and who they are.
What about funny moments? I know we had a lot. And if you could just tell us about a couple of them, like real funny moments that, you know, that took place,
yeah,
that happened
sure,
with you.
Man. Oh, where do I begin? Okay, I got one. We were in the UK, and it was the second time we toured with Serge. So it was last year, actually about a year ago, a little bit more than a year ago in 2012. And we were in Manchester. We had just performed, and we had set up an interview. One of our press people had set up an interview for a radio station, but it was going to be early in the morning, like 9 or 10 o'clock. And because we had just played the show, everyone was sleeping in the tour bus outside the venue. So I wake up, set my alarm, and I got on the radio station, but I didn't want to wake anyone up in the bus, so I got out of the bus, which turned out to be a very bad mistake. So as I was doing the radio interview, much like I'm doing now, I just started kind of walking around, and my walk took me a little bit away from the bus, like maybe 100 feet or 200 feet away. Before I know it, I hear the engine turn on a few minutes later in the middle of the interview, and the bus just leaves the lot.
No way.
Without me. So I see this happening while I'm on the phone and doing the interview. I'm running down the street in Manchester and right in the university. I don't know if you've been there, but it's like being on a college campus. There's tons of people, big intersections, like crowded. You can't get through the crosswalk. It's like a lot of people. It's tough to get through. And the bus is going, and as I'm answering the questions, I'm jumping, running as fast as I can down the street, waving to the bus driver, and I was literally next to her. I felt like I was in like a comedy, like in a movie. I was waving my arms, jumping, gasping for breath so I could still answer the questions because I didn't want to tell the guy I was doing this on the radio.
Yeah.
And she had her son, our driver was a woman, and she had her sunglasses on. And I think she saw me, but she had a hat on because back then I had like these silly like orange black streaks in my hair. And I had a hat on. It didn't occur to me to take the hat off so she would see it was me. So I think she saw me and thought I was just like some nut job running with the bus trying to wave her down. So she sped off and she left. So I was like, okay, I'm realizing, it's kind of, I'm starting to understand that, okay, the bus just left without me and I'm in Manchester. Okay, everyone speaks English. That's a good thing. They're going to Birmingham, which is another city not too far away. I'll be fine. So I just finished the interview like another 15 minutes because I didn't want to cut it off. I hung up and I started calling all the guys. Nobody's picking up the phone. Finally, Canute gets my text message. I was texting, using the Wi-Fi at the coffee shop, phone calls, everything. I finally get in touch with them, and they turn around and they come and get me. It was hilarious. that one I will remember forever, like running down the street doing an interview while the bus is leaving me.
Yep.
Pretty good.
Too bad there was no camera around, man.
I know, right? It just lives on in our collective memory of the band. We kind of still laugh about it, but you know what? It's the fun part of being on tour. You know, like little experiences like that. It kind of gives it some color.
Well, speaking of sleeping, I think it was that tour when we continued on. There was one of the shows that I missed the whole show because I fell asleep on the bus. I never woke up, and the guys didn't bother waking me up. It was in Amsterdam. And then I woke up, I'm going out, and the bus driver is telling me, where are you going? I'm like, I'm going to the concert. He goes, it's finished, you dummy, we're going back. And I was like, oh boy.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know what though, on tour it happens, man. Even performing or not, or crew, or whoever's on the tour, it sometimes, you're doing all those shows, all that travel, and the jet lag coming from North America, sometimes it just hits you. But because I mean, people think touring, it's fun and it's rewarding and there's like the cool part of it, but a lot of it is a lot of work, a lot of travel, a lot of long nights, a lot of, you know, nights where you don't get enough sleep, performing 5-6 nights in a row, which we do all the time. So it's, you know, there's both sides to it. You got to kind of put your work into.
Yeah. Okay, on that note, I'm going to take a small break. I'm going to play a track called Tricky Tricky, my favorite, and
awesome.
Then come back and continue. Stay around, folks.
Cool. Sounds good.
I took a page out from the Bible. I came across a disciple with no soul. He felt ashamed to his rival. I may as well be on my own. I sat and watched it all unfold.
Tricky, 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 tricky.
I am a liar.
Tricky, 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 tricky.
I'm so desired.
Tricky, 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 tricky.
Don't be so anxious.
Tricky, 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 tricky.
So is it contagious?
I took a dip into the Nile. I swam along for hours with no clothes. I made a friend in a crocodile. We spent our days drinking cheap wine. We threw it up all of the time. Oh!
Tricky, 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 tricky.
I am a liar.
Tricky, 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 tricky.
I'm so desired.
Tricky, 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 tricky.
Don't be so anxious.
Tricky, 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 tricky.
So is it contagious?
Yeah.
tricky, 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 I am a liar. Tricky, 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 I'm so desired. Tricky, 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 you're much too gracious. Tricky, 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 and I'm a bit flirtatious now.
Tricky, 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 I am a liar. Tricky, 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 I'm so desired. Tricky, 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 don't be so anxious. Tricky, 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 tricky,
you're so contagious.
Welcome back, folks. For those of you listening to us, we are talking with Visa tonight. We just spoke with Antranik, the oud player, and now we have Chris Daniel. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Good, Seth. How are you?
Good, bro. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Anytime. With pleasure. I was just talking to Antranik, and we covered pretty much up until tours, and you guys have a new project, a campaign, I should say, which is called Kickstarter. Can you tell us about Kickstarter?
Well, Kickstarter is more or less a website where bands or artists, and even some film people, they start a page. And you pretty much give them a description of what you're doing. Sometimes it's in your record or maybe a film or a music video and whatnot. And since the industry's changed a lot, the artists fund themselves. So what that website Kickstarter gives you the opportunity to do is reach out to the fans and kind of, if someone's going to pay $10 for the CD already, if they're going to buy it, let's say, for example, they can donate $10 to the Kickstarter, and then there would be something that comes along with it, like a thank you for the fans. We put names into the album, or there's larger donations people make. They get assigned guitars, passes on tour whenever we go to every city in whichever city the fans are in. It gives it a cool opportunity, so the fans are almost like a part of it. And it helps us, obviously, with the financials of actually being able to put together the product and put it out there. It's actually a very cool thing. So far, the support's been amazing. Honestly, I couldn't imagine it going this well. So thank you to everybody if you're listening. And yeah.
Yeah, because I was on the site and I was looking at the different packages that you guys have on the Kickstarter. And you guys got a lot of stuff going there. You're giving away a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we try to get creative with it too, because it creates more of a, motive for fans to maybe, it's not every day you get a signed guitar from the band you support and you listen to, or get a personal thank you in the CD, or, just you got to think of different things and stay connected with the fans.
And the new album that's coming out, it's called Araya. Where'd you guys get that name?
It's funny. We were really debating on the title of this record because it's not like any of the other records. The other records have had themes. And that's why they, in a sense, for naming the record, it kind of makes it easier if you have a theme you're going for. This was more it was a different turn musically for us. And all of us think it's the best record yet, which is a good sign. We've all grown. And Arya actually, Shunt, our guitar player, suggested the word. It meant refreshed, new direction, a kind of a modern feel to some of the older types of genres we cover. And we felt like it was really, it rolled off the tongue nice. Besides the casino in Vegas, I don't think we should have any problems.
Yeah, and this is the same Sean that said this record sucks, right? Don't buy it.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, Sean has a very funny sense of humor, that guy.
Yeah,
very sarcastic, but yeah.
I was cracking when I heard that, but he corrected himself, I think, at the end.
Yeah, well, he cracked. He couldn't keep a straight face anymore. He started laughing.
And when is the album coming out?
There's no set release date, but it's looking to be sometime in early January, because we're going to head up to the UK for a three-week tour, I'm sure Antonik mentioned. So we were definitely shooting for having it then. And right after that, from the UK, after 3 weeks, we're going into Europe for our headline tour. So we're going to have it by 2014, for sure.
Okay. And have you recorded most of the songs, or you're still in the process?
The music is done. Actually, while I'm talking to you, I hear Knoop in the back doing his overdub screaming. the music is all done. It's come together stellar. We're very excited. So most of the vocals are finished. Now it's just a matter of little trinkets here and there, and it'll be sent to mixing mastering, which will take about a week or so, and should be ready for print.
Cool. And the tours, you mentioned tours. You'll be touring in January?
Yeah, I believe it's January 20th. We start in the UK in London with a band called Skindred and another band called Soil. They're pretty big in the metal scene, and in Europe, you know, the metal scene's still going strong. So we're very honored to get up on that bill and expand on our fan base in the UK, which is very difficult for some reason. It's almost as difficult as Canada. But the people are awesome always, so we're looking forward to that. And then I think it's early February, mid-February, when we're done, we're going to go to Europe, Germany, France, Italy, those spots, and start our tour.
Cool. What were your funniest moments on tour? I asked Antrani, he told me the bus story. I gotta bug you a bit, too.
Which bus story? There's
the one that he was running.
Oh my God! Yeah, that was actually the funniest. I forgot that for a second. But the funniest stories. I mean, there's so much that happens because every day is like a new adventure. You know, you're in a new country, you're in a new city. There's a new plan, there's a new venue, and headaches, bus. But let me think. I had a serious story. This was the first tour we did with Serge Tankian in 2009. I was not used to sleeping in a bus at all. I had no idea what we're getting into. And the bunks are very small, and the wall is like right at your face. So when you're laying there, it's kind of like a coffin. And I have like serious anxiety and claustrophobia, so that didn't work for me. So I went and slept in the back, which there's like a lounge, and it's like a C-shaped couch. And I tried to sleep on that thing a couple times, and then the guys would make fun of me because there was a door, there was a TV over there, so I kind of made it my own bedroom, you know? And I have the luxury, and everyone's sleeping in the bunks. So after, I was like, you know, you guys, don't hate on me, you know? No, you're just jealous. So I got what I deserved one of the nights. We were driving through the Swiss Alps, and the turns were ridiculous. It was icy, snowing, and sure enough, there's a table that's obviously above the couch, and one of the turns, I just fell off that couch so hard, and I swung my head on the pole, and everybody heard me fall. So they opened the door, and they started laughing. I mean, like, yeah, that's what you get. Enjoy your bedroom, buddy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was definitely one of the nights.
Cool. And how has this changed you, Chris Daniel, from the first day you started with Visa and all this touring as a person? Do you see the change in you? Has it changed you?
I grew up a little bit. A lot of it, I should say. It definitely gives you culture, all the traveling and seeing the different ways people live and the different ways people interpret music around the world and the social scene, and you know, and obviously that's personally, but as a musician, you grow as well. You're practicing hard every night, you're giving your best performance, and then you come home and you're refreshed and you miss going back out. It inspires you to write. So it definitely changed me in a lot of ways, and it's inspiring. In Armenian, we have a saying, "Mak tak tak kichra." You grew up a little bit.
Wait, I gotta ask that one to Charach. Let me see Charach's version. Let me see what he says.
Charach is the one, I think, who started the Matsatsir, in my book, at least. But, yeah.
Cool, man. I'll be looking forward to the new album. And
thank you
for coming and talking to us tonight. Thank Antranik for me. I know he went back
of
inside. Wish you guys good luck.
Hope to see you soon, Mr.
Yeah.
It's been too long.
Hope to see you guys up here soon.
Yeah, we gotta talk to some promoters, make things happen.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, bro.
All right.
Take care. Say hi to the guys.
Of course I will.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, folks, that was Chris Daniel from the band Visa.
Stay tuned. I'm going to play a few more tracks. We got another 20 minutes. It's going to be all Visa.
get your shit together, man. It's a cruel, dark world. Oh, yeah, well, for right now. Get your shit together, man. It's a cruel, dark world. Oh, you will for right. Manly
girl. Past the watchmen, run past the falcons. Hello, little children, smile at the cameras. Don't forget your aspirin. Who can make this happen? I can make this happen. We will make this happen.
Stay with me. You wish to hide your face. You wish to spend your days staring out my window. The Mona Lisa, the Mona Lisa. I swept the walls in pursuit of a virgin girl. The Mona Lisa, the Mona Lisa. I left my turn for a glimpse of this manly girl.
Okay, folks, welcome back. I got a couple of announcements to make. Next weekend, there's a dinner dance. Home at Ben 95th anniversary. Toronto and Cambridge are celebrating it together in Toronto. Ararat Aharonian joins us from Lebanon. And he will be performing that night. For tickets and table reservations, call 416-725-3703. And then November 30th, ARF Day celebrations in Montreal. On Saturday, Cristapor Arabian from Washington and Kevor Kartinian from Montreal will be performing. For tickets for that one, call 450-682-5231. And as I posted yesterday, I think it was, Project Music and ARFJOC, the Badanegan Montreal chapter, they've joined forces, and Project Music, who's the owner, who the owner is, one of our dear friends, Kevor Kevorkian, has a CD. He's going to make an album of all. He's a DJ, and he's going to make songs, especially for the Badanegan Mutune. It's his work, and the Badanis are going to be selling it for $5. We're going to have a live broadcast of it when the CD is done, which should be in about 2 weeks. I sure hope everybody supports the Badanegan, because all the proceeds from the CD sale, they're going to go towards Armenia 2014. As most of you know, every 2 years, Badanegan goes to Armenia. And they try to raise funds throughout the year. And this is one of their fundraising activities. There will be many more coming up. Anyways, hopefully you enjoyed tonight's show. I want to thank Visa once again for talking to us, and all the listeners from Poland, Australia, Germany, France, all over Europe, Russia. We even had a Russia tonight, Armenia, as well as the good old USA and Canada. So on that note, have yourselves a great weekend. Good evening. I'm going to play 3 more songs from Visa, and that's it. We go back to our regular programming after that. Good night, everyone.
someone nearby.
Cannibalia, it's a strange someone. Cannibalia, who is your master? Cannibalia, are you boys and girls? Cannibalia, can we go any faster?
Sculptures are veining, superstitions are veining. Blaze like the mansions we hide. Summon the baritones, levy the Capricorns. Ready or not, we're nearby.
Cannibalia, it's a strange someone. To sleep, laugh if you will, cry for the thrill as the spotlight falls on you and on me. Opium runs, satin bed bugs, your perfume puts me right to sleep.